Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power! Good afternoon, Phoenix! Hey, gang! Welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. Welcome to another show that teaches you how to get the absolute best out of your life. Teaches you how to get on the fast track to success. That's why we call it the Power Hour. We're listening to the fabulous music of the great, late great, Wes Montgomery. Yeah. Last week, our musical guest host was George Benson. And we were talking about Wes as being a tremendous inspiration for George, which of course led us to feature John Leslie Montgomery, or Wes Montgomery, as our musical guest host here on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. They said it was going to rain today, but they were wrong. It's a beautiful, almost cloudless sky here. About 77 degrees. Hey, JB, what do you think about that? Hey, as usual, we got Zach Geis on the other side of the glass. What's up, Zach?
Hey, good to be here again today, Mac. Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you in the house. And, of course, in her customary seat, making the room more beautiful, in fact, illuminating the entire Valley of the Sun, the fabulous Natasha.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, she has her own fans. Yeah, let's hear it for her. She has all of her own fans. As an email we got from Chicago, JB says, "Hey, Natasha, we love your accent here."
Thank you, JB.
And he's waiting to find out more about, hey, Zach, let's get a little bit more of that. Can we do that? Can we get a little bit more of that same cut there we just heard? A little bit more of Wes Montgomery while I give some folks a little bit of background. A little bit of background on Wes Montgomery. You know, the thing that really gets me about Wes Montgomery is that self-taught. And he didn't even start playing guitar until he was well into his 30s. I mean, just an unbelievable player. And the rumor had it, and I thought this was just a rumor, that the reason he started playing with his thumb, and that's how he gets this unbelievably full sound. Turn it up a little bit there, Jack. He's got a nice sound, really full. That's because he uses his thumb in both directions on the string. Very few people can do that. George is one of the few. And anyway, in order not to disturb his wife, Serene, and I guess in addition to her name being Serene, she liked it serene around the house. And she didn't want to hear this loud amplifier with all these horrible sounds emanating from it. So he decided he would play soft with his thumb rather than using a pick. And therein lies supposedly the legend of how this unbelievable sound was born. Well, I thought it was so much mishmash until I started talking to George. And it's very, very true. You see, they're both from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Wes, one of George's heroes. And even though George can, imitate him, like dead on, solid, perfect, George's sound is strictly his own, as is Wes's. And so many critics over the years have sort of criticized Wes for not being a classical player. It's just that his style is so uniquely his own. The link between Charlie Christian, Django Reinhardt, and of course the fabulous George Benson, John Leslie, Wes Montgomery, our musical guest host here on the Power Hour. on this beautiful Thursday here in Arizona. I hope it's beautiful and wonderful wherever you are. Thanks for all the emails, gang. I really appreciate them. I don't say that enough. I really love it when the machine goes bing and I see a email coming in from somewhere around the world, and it usually starts out like, that show, last show was the bomb. It was just off the hook. I love hearing things like that. And Al in South Florida, he loves that term. Yeah, last show was off the hook. It was off the hook. Well, Al, you know what? This show is going to be off the hook just for you, okay? And we're going to make, and we do have a fabulous show for you that is off the hook. I think it's going to be fabulous. We are going to finish up with the 10 steps to permanent change. We're going to go through that in great detail, all right? We're not going to leave out a thing. And hopefully we will get a start to goal setting, but that we are definitely going to do that. As usual, we always at this point like to start off by making some shout outs. We always do that. And now, you know what, JB? You've given me so much trouble the last few days. Emails, phone calls, and we definitely have to include John Booker up in Chicago, where the temperature just for you, John, is probably on the rise now. It's up to probably 23 or 24 degrees, you know. And let's give a shout out to JB up in Chi-Town, you know. Oh, wow. Yes, he needs that. And of course, you know, all of our other traditional shout outs are Ray in Southern California, Mark up here in Phoenix. It's good to have you as a regular listener, Mark. And Mark and Kim, thanks for the Valentine's Day card, gang. Thank you so much. I love that card. I love how they do that. Music and everything. Hey, Nick and the boys up in Denver. Is everybody ready for me up there next month? Is everybody ready? Nick and, yeah. Hey, Nick and the boys up in Denver. We've got a great show. It's going to be called Moving from the Old You to the New You, Nick. And it's going to be fabulous. Three fabulous seminars that we're going to do, and we're looking forward to it. And, of course, Peter and Bev right here in the Valley. And I know you guys are getting closer by the day of being back in the house. And, of course, Dottie, where you at? And Al down in Southern Florida. Big hand for everybody. All of our traditional shout-outs here today. Oh, man, you have got to love it. You've got to love that. You know, gang, I enjoy doing the show. Last week's show, Natasha, you can vouch for this. I wasn't completely thrilled with the quality of last week's show. I felt that I had sort of gotten off base a little bit and spent too much time in the first half of the show, and I didn't get to my points quickly enough. And I almost didn't want to put it online. I really didn't. I just felt that it may not have been up to standards, but I don't know. Maybe you guys are forgiving, or just realizing we're always trying to make a good effort. But it seemed like that we got more positive responses from last week's show than we have in quite some time. So thank you for that. I want to start off this show by quoting a George Bernard Shaw, a poem that I feel represents part of my philosophy of living in life itself. He calls it true joy. And he says, this is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. And isn't that the way it is, gang? So many people selfishly complaining about all the things that are not working, all of the grievances, and that the world will not devote itself to making them happy. George Bernard Shaw goes on to say, I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live it, and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle for me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. You know, gang, when I first heard that poem and he got down to the last paragraph, it literally choked me up. It choked me up because I felt that he was talking to my soul. I felt that this was me he was talking about. I certainly didn't have the talent or the ability to use such eloquent words to say it so clearly and precisely. But like that, I too want to be thoroughly used up when I die. I don't want to have something that is, I don't want to be, shall I say, I don't want to sleepwalk through life. I want to be thoroughly used up. I want to use all that there is of me. For the harder I work, the more I seem to live. And that's exactly how I feel. The more effort I put into things, the more involved I am, the more life I have. People say, don't you get tired of working out? That's what it is. The harder I work, the more I live, the more energy I get. How can you realize that unless you've done it? And those of you who are sitting around as couch potatoes, it's not too late for you to get up off the couch. It's not too late for you to change your attitude about your life so that you too, like me and George Bernard Shaw, can rejoice in life for its own sake. No matter how long I live, whether it's for 10 years or 100 years, I see life as no brief candle at this point. I never thought I would live this long. When I came back from Vietnam, I just thought it was just a short time for me before I was to leave this place. And you know, like so many people have said, if I'd known I was going to live so long, I would have taken much better care of myself. Well, I've taken better care of myself than most, but I can do better. And I see it as no brief candle. I see it as a torch which I have got hold of for this moment. And I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before I hand it off to future generations. And that would be my legacy, that they would learn something about the human spirit, about that part of the human psyche that grows on effort and becomes enhanced by the more that you give away, and as you improve the quality of other people's lives, your life is enhanced at the same time, by the same degree. And handing that off to future generations, a way of making the world simply a better place. And that's also one of the goals of the Power Hour. If you're new to the Power Hour, don't be surprised. We talk this way all the time. We talk about life and its possibilities. We talk about the things that we want to do. We're not afraid to make commitments towards things. We're not holding back and afraid to say, this is what I want because I'm afraid that I'll look bad in the eyes of others. We learn to develop real courage, and we do it here every Thursday. But it doesn't stop here. You can go on to my website, macnewton.com, and you can go to Mac Newton On and print out some of these essays and print out some of the lectures that we've done. And pretty soon, you're going to be able to actually download the actual talks and even the workouts that we have. We're making big changes this year on macnewton.com, and you're going to want to be part of those changes. You know, I'm scheduled to do a speech sometime in, I guess it's in, let me see here, it's in the middle of March in a high school. I like to donate my time to these types of events. It's a technical high school. I'm going to address about 300 or 400 high schoolers. And in talking to the principal today, it was shocking. He feels that there's just a diabetic epidemic on a campus. He thinks there's 3 out of every 7 students on that campus are overweight or diabetic, or at least 20% over their normal weight. Through testing that they've done on campus of high schoolers, we're talking teenagers, the average resting heart rate is 85. That's outrageous. 85. And the body fat ranges from the 30s to the low 40 percentile. That's unacceptable. That is unacceptable. What does that say for our future and just the cost of health insurance, which is already out of reach for most people. Most people are only one accident away from complete disaster. Affordable health insurance is not something that most people can afford. And what does that say? And along for the future, where you're looking at a diabetic epidemic, they say in New York City that there are over 550,000 type 2 diabetics under the age of 15. That's outrageous. When just recently, as 25 years ago, you never saw type 2 diabetes in any person under the age of 20 in the absence of extreme obesity. But what do we see today? We have a whole new landscape. What does this call for, game? It calls for responsibility psychology is what it calls for. It calls for people taking charge of their lives. It calls for people looking to get more out of themselves than what they're getting right now. That's what it means. But what it means for the rest of us is that we're going to pay the bill. Because as type 2 diabetics age, we're talking about limb replacement, we're talking about joint replacements, we're talking about more and more people on welfare. It could absolutely burden the country. We're already spending over $3 billion a quarter on diseases related just to obesity alone. Oh my. So obviously I'm going to donate my time to this cause so that I can at least affect. And I think for them to listen to me and listen to the things that I've been through in my life and then look at the physical presence that I'll be standing in front of them and the things that I've had to do to stay physical and the things that I'm going to have to do in the future to stay healthy, the responsibility I'm going to have to accept to be an example. I think, well, if the past is any indicator, I think it's all going to be well received. No, I'll never talk down anyone. I'm just going to say that what we have now in our country is we have a great need for leadership. We need a great need for leadership in schools and in homes and churches and, of course, in government. And also that leadership, that demand for leadership extends to the public sector, to people who are work, to entrepreneurs, to parents, where the parents can stop saying, do as I say, and say, do as I do. Where the parents can get off the couch and seek to lower their body fat and establish an effective eating plan, whether it's the 3-2 eating plan or any other plan that might help them get healthier. And you know what else, gang? It's also not about losing weight. It's about getting healthy. It's about the numbers behind the number of what your weight is. If one thing I learned from my father, and there are not many, but one of the things that I learned from my dad was what I didn't want to be like. I would get up every morning almost and go out of my paper route at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and many times he would still be sitting in the same chair that he was sitting in the night before. He didn't have enough energy to get out of the chair and go to bed, for goodness sakes. Now, I know there are a lot of people listening to me right now are thinking, wow, you know, I do the same thing. You know, I can barely have enough energy to get out of bed, let alone go out and do things and get involved in life and feel that you're absolutely living, that you're actually living. Parents, it's time to set an example. You know, let's stop turning down the dessert. Make dessert what it was intended to be, a treat, not just an everyday part to every single meal. And let's give up bread. Stop eating bread right now. You want to get healthier? Right now, stop eating bread. Stop eating bread. Don't eat anything else made out of bread or bread products. Stop eating white flour. No more white flour. No more bread. No more gravy. Get rid of it. No more salt. No more sugar. Let's get rid of it. And you're going to do so much to improve the quality of your life, and your energy and your attitude will improve almost immediately, and it will improve very dramatically. Become a role model. You know what? Whether you know it or not, or whether you accept the responsibility of it, you're already a role model. There are people who are looking at you right now. You may not know it, but there are people who are looking at you and learning from you. And whether it's a nephew or a niece, or whether it's a neighbor down the block, someone is watching you. And when you can do things that you can want them to grow up and be like you, how cool is that? You want them to grow up and be like you. I think that's very, very cool. So let's start looking at that. Now, we're not going to spend this much time every week talking about the 3-2 eating plan. And I'm just simply going to say, you want to know what the 3-2 eating plan is? Go to macnewton.com and click on the 3-2 icon. And then it's going to explain to you everything that the 3-2 is and what you can do to get started. It's going to tell you what kind of changes you can expect once you improve your eating plan. It's going to tell you how much water you should be drinking. Now, these are the true steps to anti-aging. Please don't think there are any creams or any potions that are going to help you in this anti-aging crusade I see on TV all the time. You know what you need? You need to eat really good food. It all comes down to that. My name is Mac Newton, and you're listening to The Power Hour. It is 22 minutes past the hour of 5 o'clock in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, on February 19th. You know what, gang? It seems that just yesterday it was Christmas. I mean, and time is going by. My point here is, if you're going to say, you know, if it's going to take you 6 months to lose that weight and start to get healthy, you say, well, gee whiz, it's going to take too long. You know what? That time's going to go by anyway. Only question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to be doing at the end of that time frame? You know, people say, oh, it takes too long. Why bother? You know what? Life's going to continue to go by. So let's take advantage of it. Let's use it. Let's use that time. Okay. Let's jump into our topic for today, which is the 10 steps to permanent change. The 10 steps to permanent change that we started talking about actually 2 weeks ago. We started talking about the Dirty Dozen. Those parts of us who that part of us that we okay. Did I tell the story last week between the two wolves? Do you remember that, Zach? Can you recall?
I'm trying to recall. I mean, I can't think of
it. Natasha, do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay. You know, I'm 1/4 Cherokee, and it's an old Cherokee legend that tribal elder was talking to a group of kids, and he was explaining that inside of each and every one of them, there are two wolves. Did I tell that story?
I'm not sure if you told it, but I saw this at the DMV. A lady had it like on her desk. I think I
did. You? Okay. Well, he says inside of us there are two wolves, and they're always fighting. One wolf is an evil wolf. One is always mean and cruel and dishonest, deceitful, and mischievous and devious. And the other wolf is good, is always a patient and kind and giving and honest and objective. And they're always fighting. They're fighting for the one who's going to be dominant. And one of the kids looked up and says, well, which one wins? Which one's wins? And the elder looked down at the children and he says, the one you feed the most. And that's so very true. Which wolf are you feeding? The one that demonstrates the Dirty Dozen? The one that demonstrates jealousy, negative talk, the inability to give compliments, an inability to accept compliments, not taking your own needs into account, not asking for what we want? That's a classic right there. People who are unafraid to ask for what they want. People who are unwilling. They don't think they're deserving to be helped. They don't know how it is to be a deserving recipient. An unwillingness to give affection. And the flip side of that, an inability to receive affection. Criticism of ourselves. Destructive, negative criticism of ourselves. And as an offshoot of that, criticism of others. Always comparing ourselves to others. Nothing good can come from that. We know that. Either we're going to be jaded or we'll be bitter. Number 11 is experiencing guilt. And number 12, constant poor health. All those I call the Dirty Dozen, and how I came up with them was because I'm examining my own life, examining the things that I didn't like about the old me. So to move from the old me to the new me, we need 10 steps to permanent change. 10 steps to permanent change. Gang, it's 25 minutes after the hour right now, and my name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. I've asked you before, and I guess you must be doing it, because we're getting more and more listeners all the time, more and more emails all the time. But I want to ask you again, tell a friend what you're doing on Thursday afternoons. And if you miss it on Thursday at 5, you can always listen later in the day or on the weekends, on Friday and Saturday, because we're going to upload this show immediately after the live broadcast to the website, so you can tune in and listen at your convenience. You can even download it on your iPod and listen to it on a bike ride. Listen to it while you hike. You know, just have your mind fed with very strong, powerful, positive information that you can use to take yourself into the fast lane. As we think in terms of the 10 steps to permanent change, you have to first understand that change is naturally hard. The feeling of the average adult is to stay the same, but somehow get better. And even though I laugh about it, I think I laugh because I've seen so much of exactly that, of people who want to get better. I want to get healthy. I want to lose weight, but I don't want to work out. I don't want to feel the pain of getting sore. I don't want to sweat. I don't want to feel hot. I want to be right at my convenient time. You know what, gang? It's supposed to be hard. Change is supposed to be hard. Getting healthy is supposed to be hard. Becoming a black belt is supposed to be hard, because if it wasn't, everyone would do it. And success is only reserved for those few who are willing to sacrifice early and often. There is room at the top for everyone, but everyone's not there, because they're not willing to give up the habits that are holding them down, but that yet and still they want to reserve the right to complain about it. Well, you know, for one, I'm unwilling to listen to your complaints. Because now it's time for change, gang. It's time for us to realize it's time to do something different. Rather than sit and complaining, I'm going to ask you a question. Whether you're talking about your finances, whether you're talking about all the stuff that needs to be done around the house, your need for a new car, you don't have any insurance, the kids aren't doing good in school, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? No excuses. What are you going to do about it? Don't blame anyone for anything, and no one's to blame, not even yourself. Don't blame you. You now, when you say, what am I going to do about it? You know what you're doing? You're taking responsibility. You're taking responsibility and you're taking charge. And the acceptance of personal responsibility is a key hallmark quality of the mature human being, a key hallmark quality of a person who is taking charge of their life. So change is naturally hard, but if it were easy, everyone would do it. And these benefits are only reserved for those who've made decisions to change, to do the difficult things early and often. All right. We've got time for maybe one or two before we go to commercial break. Number one, and this is the one that starts you to heal. Because, you know, all of those things I mentioned to you before, they're all a sign of sickness and illness. And it makes you feel bad. When you're jealous, how do you feel? Do you sleep good when you're jealous or made to feel jealous? Come on, tell me, answer me. The question is no. When someone makes you feel jealous, you feel terrible. You feel horrible. You feel like that you are just, you know, you're just not very valuable. You know, and then of course that leads into your negative talk. You're saying all kind of negative things about yourself, okay? So the first step to that, the very first thing that you can do to start healing, is to give compliments. Give compliments. We're going to pick it up right there, but right now we're going to listen to that unbelievably smooth guitar of John Leslie Montgomery, born March 6, 1923 in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's just really amazing. He became famous for doing something that he learned from Django Reinhardt, playing in octaves, the same note, just one octave apart. We'll talk more about that when we come back from commercial break. You guys stay exactly where you are. You guys stay exactly where you are, and remember, this is the Power Hour. Don't go away. My name is Mac Newton. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
The Power Hour is brought to you by Quail Plumbing, a full-service plumbing contractor serving the Valley for over 18 years. And Widmeyer Chiropractic, a fixture on Camelback Road for over 15 years.
Hi gang, Mac Newton here. Just a reminder to, if you like the stuff you hear on the Power Hour, get more of it during the week. Log on to www.macnewton.com and get your daily fix. Go to Mac Newton On. There are all kinds of interesting essays about, critics, how to deal with them, how to inspire yourself, how to hang around positive people. Download them, talk to your friends about them. MacNewton.com, the place where winners go. Just a reminder, in addition to the Power Hour, you need some things to keep you pumped up during the week. More of that to come later.
Service for all types of commercial and residential plumbing needs in the Phoenix metro area, including Scottsdale, Paradise Valley, Phoenix, Cave Creek, Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. Quail is proud to provide a multitude of services, everything from water heater repair, drain cleaning, leaky faucet repair, shower repair, to water softeners, and even leak detection services. Quail's extensive new construction department specializes in commercial ground-up, commercial tenant improvements, and custom residential homes. They can do small to large and complicated piping projects. Whether you're a homeowner, general contractor, commercial business, property manager, or realtor, they are here to serve you. For more information, contact them online at quailplumbing.com or by phone at 623-780-2233. That's 623-780-2233. Quail Plumbing, when it's worth doing right.
Would you like to be at your very best, both physically and mentally? Hey, gang, this is Mac Newton. I can tell you exactly how to do it. For me, to be at my best, physically and mentally, my body has to feel good. I do Taekwondo 5 days a week, minimally, and sometimes even more. And after 2 or 3 hours of training on the Taekwondo floor, of spinning and twisting my spine and punching and kicking, sometimes I feel like a pretzel. I know where to go. I go to Randall Whitmire's Chiropractic on 44th Street in Camelback in Phoenix, Arizona, where he's been for about the last 15 years. He's a fixture over there. And he doesn't just grab you and yank you around. That's the last thing I'm looking for. He uses, well, first of all, I should tell you that Randall graduated from the prestigious Palmer College of Chiropractic, one of the best known colleges for chiropractic in the world. And he offers a natural approach to better health with the activator method. No aggressive grabbing and twisting. No, the activator method. One of the most modern approaches to getting the body in its own natural alignment known today. Most precise, then the safest, most gentle, and low force used today. They also offer convenient day and evening appointments to help you with your schedule, which we know now more than ever is extremely busy. So, take it from the Mac Daddy himself. I know I'm only going to go to the best. And I do not recommend and endorse anyone that I don't know about personally. So, discover how the activator method can work for you today. Call 954-6200. You'll get the wonderful people over there at Whitmire Chiropractic. They'll treat you like the VIPs and the pros that you are. Hey, gang, one more time, coming back at you. Just a reminder to do me a favor, a personal favor, just for the Mac Daddy. Tell a friend, call someone on the phone right now and say, you know what, gang, I'm listening to this show. that if you listen to it, you might get something from it just like me. It's called a Power Hour. No, it's not on radio or TV. It's only on MacNewton.com. Tell them to log on to www.MacNewton.com and click on the blue Power Hour Listen Live icon. And then when you get there, just pick the date that you want, click on it, and you'll be in business. I think it takes about a minute and a half to download a show. I know we've all got that much time. All right? Do me a favor. I'll see you back on the Power Hour in just a few minutes. Once he got started, he meaning Wes Montgomery, he started touring with his brothers. His brother Monk played bass and Buddy on piano and vibraphone. That's somewhere around 1957, if I remember correctly. But that was just the beginning. I remember when he started out, one of his first albums was called The Incredible Jazz Guitar of Wes Montgomery. I have it, of course. And he didn't just hit a note like a C sharp or a B flat. I mean, it was like a story. Listen to this. I mean, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Well, as you know by now, he has recorded and with everyone from Cannonball, Adderley, Wynton Kelly, John Coltrane. When he really, really got going, he teamed up with Creed Taylor, with Verve Records. But you know what, though? It was sort of funny because that move sort of precipitated his fall from grace with the typical jazz community. Because if you listen to the background in this, which is now a jazz classic, Bumping, you will hear sounds of strings, which was verboten for any in classical jazz to hear strings or that type of, you see, this what you just heard right there. But now we look at this as it's classic. And his guitar is perfectly highlighted. It's just a step forward. Well, contemporary jazz, your bass, not it back in the day. Well, anyway, this was his fall from grace, so to speak. Yeah, right. When he went with, Creed Taylor and started Reverb Records, it was that octave technique. It was the octave technique. It was the lyrical sound of his, audacious. As a guitar player, he played these eight-note solos. They were just their improvisations. They're just incredible that you can't duplicate. Just amazing. I mean, it's like the octaves became the focal point of his new style. I think his general overall musicianship finally won over the jazz community again, and now he resides in his very deservedly is his place as the leader of the pack when it comes to jazz guitar. The incomparable Wes Montgomery, Bumping on Sunset. Hey gang, welcome back. You can see I'm also passionate about my jazz music. I think that God's given us so much for ourselves, in addition to our minds, our bodies, but also giving us fabulous food, beverages, good wines, champagne, giving us music and dance. Those three things right there, music, dance, fabulous music, the gifts from God, the way I see it. And you can enjoy all of those things and still maintain your health. Okay, let's get back to the 10 steps to permanent change. It is now 20 minutes before the hour of 6 here in a beautiful sunny day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And when it gets sunny in Phoenix, it gets seriously sunny, I tell you. So, as we started out with right before the break, the first step to healing and the first step to building your self-confidence and building your self-liking, building your self-image, because all the Dirty Dozen, it just makes you see yourself as less than you really are. And as I said last week, if you realize 3 of those as relating to you, you have work to do. Between 4 and 8, it has to become a top priority. And between 8 and 12, it has become your major definite purpose in life to do nothing more than build how much you like yourself. Build your self-esteem. Say, I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. I am responsible. I am responsible. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Over and over and over until you begin to supersede all the previous programming that builds a good, positive self-image. And then to help you in that process, let's start by giving compliments. Just saying things about people. Say, if you're talking about a guy, you know, like I said last week, guys don't have a lot of different pairs of shoes. Usually only 2, you know, a pair of black ones, a pair of black leather ones, or brown leather ones, or maybe a pair of gym shoes, and maybe a specialty pair of shoes or something, and maybe a pair of sandals. That's about it. So you're looking at 5 or 6. But women, oh my God. Natasha, how many pairs of shoes do you have, my dear?
Over 100
pairs of shoes. You hear that, JB? 100 pairs of shoes. Okay, let's not even ask about the other stuff. So if you want to, I mean, you mentioned in a woman's purse. How many purses do you have, Natasha?
Less than 100.
Less than 100? Well, that's 99. There you have it, folks.
They're more expensive than shoes, you know.
So less than about 99 or 98. There you have it. Guys have ties. And if they don't wear ties, they got T-shirts. They got lots and lots of T-shirts. They collect them. So if you pay a compliment to a guy's T-shirt or a guy's tie, you've paid him a compliment. You're gonna get a smile out of that guy. I'm telling you right now. Give compliments, and on the reverse side of that, accept compliments simply by saying, "Thank you. I'm glad you feel that way." Accept compliments. Number one, give compliments. Number two, accept compliments. Don't let someone pay you a compliment and you go, oh, no, that's the whole thing. Oh, that's not true. No, don't do that. It just tells that person that their opinion is of no value. It tells them that they don't know what they're talking about, that you don't value their opinion. It makes them feel terrible. And that's not the purpose of giving a compliment. You're trying to make someone feel great. So give compliments and accept the other person's compliment by saying, thank you. I'm glad you feel that way. Number three, always, always speak in positive terms about yourself. Never criticize yourself for anything. Always say positive things about you. And if you're thinking there are things sometimes that you have to criticize, you have to critique, this is the way you do it. You say, in spite of what I just did, in spite of what I just said, I'm still okay. The next time I'm in that situation, I will handle it, and then tell yourself exactly what to do. Don't criticize yourself for anyone. And by the way, don't let anyone else destructively criticize you either. In fact, just this morning, one of my clients told me she used this method extremely effectively. When someone brings up a criticism about you destructively, or a negative comment, by saying, well, you know, you're always late. You're always late. Or you never finish what you start. You're always late. Or you're messy. You're just always messy. You know what you say to them? Don't ever say that about me again. Don't ever say, well, you used to be that way. Yes, you're right. At one point in time, I was late, or I didn't finish things, or I have been messy in the past, but I'm not anymore. I have made very good steps, very specific steps to change all that. Well, you're going to hear one of two things come back from them. They'll go either, well, okay, fine. Or they'll go, yeah, you change? Not likely. But you know what, though? They've heard you. They've heard you. And you've made the point, don't ever say that about me again. Don't ever say that about me, because that's not me. So don't let anyone criticize you, because it will tag you. Even though you don't, may not think so, it will tag you. And if you get enough of those, I've heard this saying many times, elephants don't bite, but mosquitoes do. And each little tag is a little mosquito bite, and pretty soon you've been eaten alive. Number four, find things to praise about yourself. You know, almost every week, as soon as the show is over, the first thing, as soon as Zach gives me the we're clear sign, I'll usually say, that was a great show. I really, really like that show. I mean, KFNX, how many times did you see me say that, Zach? Did I say it all the time?
You know, every show.
Almost every show. I always got to say, hey, Mac Daddy, you did a job on that one. You know, this is not being arrogant or conceited. This is simply praising yourself. People who feel that that's being arrogant and conceited are people who are insecure, are people who have deep-rooted feelings of inadequacy on their own. That's their problem, not yours. In order to change permanently from the dirty dozen, you need to always find things to praise about yourself. Things that you can say, I did that really well. I did that good. You know, I can do a little bit better, but you know what? I did certain parts of it really, really good. Always praise yourself. Number five, separate your behavior from yourself. Now, this is a key point because we all do things that are, as Al would say, off the hook. Things that we just didn't think about before we did it. We opened our mouth and said something before we thought about it. We didn't intend to, but it just happened. That's behavior. It's not the you. We got to separate the behavior. You can say, I really didn't like what I did. I didn't like it at all. I still like me. The lawyers have a saying for that. They say, separate the baby from the bathwater. You want to throw out the bathwater, save the baby. You want to change the behavior. You don't want to hurt the person. You want to save the person. It's too often that people, when they're getting upset at something they've done, they rip themselves to pieces. They tear themselves apart. They criticize themselves destructively, and they end up doing only one thing, setting themselves up to do the same thing again. Destructive criticism does not make the person behave differently. It only makes sure that they do the same thing again. I always tell my clients, rather than criticize yourself, let me do it. I'm better at it. Let me do it. You know how I'm better at it? Because I'm going to always make sure my criticism is geared toward what's wrong and not the person. I'm going to talk about what you did. I'm going to automatically separate the behavior from the person. And that's very, very important. Separate your behavior from yourself. That's number five. Number six, let's treat your body well. Treat your body well. Take care of your body. Go out for a walk half an hour a day, one half an hour, 24 hours a day. Can't you give your body 30 minutes? Can't you give your body 30 minutes? All you gotta do is go for a walk. Just walk out your front door and walk around the block. Walk around twice. See how many times it takes, how long it takes to walk around the block once, and then just walk around it enough to get 30 minutes out of that. Or just start walking in one direction for 15 minutes and turn around and walk back. There you have it. You got a half an hour working out. And then while you're down there, or just walk down there for 14 minutes, step down and do 20 push-ups. And then get back, walk back. And then before you go in the house, do 20 more. There's a workout. There's a Mac Daddy workout for you right there. We'll call that the mini Mac. And you can do that every day you want to. That's the half hour mini Mac, okay? Walk out the house, do 20 push-ups, walk for 14 minutes, do 20 more, walk back, do 20 more, go inside, feel good. Okay? There's your workout. What do you say?
Oh, that sounds great. Mini Mac.
The Mini Mac. You love that. You know, treat your body well. Eat good food. Drink 120 ounces of water a day. Give your skin some nutrients. People will look at my skin and they'll say, "Boy, your skin is just so smooth." I mean, Zach, I think the first week you were back, you made mention of the fact that your skin looks so smooth. Your skin looks so healthy. You know why? I drink 120 ounces of water a day. Didn't you make that comment to me?
Yeah, I mean, I just haven't seen you in a year, and you don't look like you aged, you know, whatsoever. You look identical.
So. The secret right there, water. You just drink 120 ounces of water a day. You eat dark green vegetables. You eat a lot of Brussels sprouts. You eat a lot of asparagus. You eat a lot of broccoli. You know, those are the main vegetables. Spinach, collard greens, those are the big ones. Eat lots of that. Drink a lot of water. Treat your body well and think positive thoughts. Listen to the Power Hour. Go to MacNewton.com. Print out some of the things. Talk to your friends about them. Set goals. Man. That's treating your body well. You get excited and you start feeling terrific about you and your possibilities for the rest of your life. Number seven, tell people how you expect to be treated. Tell them what you want. I never forget once, I was coming back from a trip. I don't remember where I was. I think I was in California and I was getting close to did you just cross the air? No, it's still over in California, Blythe, California. You ever been over there on I-10?
Of course.
Sure. So I'm getting close, and there were a couple of people in the car, and there was a female in the passenger seat, and I'm coming down the highway, And I guess we were coming up on a fast food restaurant or something. And she turns around and she says to me, she says, you thirsty? I said, nope. And we went right on past the fast food restaurant. And then about, I'd say another maybe 20, 30 miles down the road, we're getting almost right to the city of Blythe. I felt like I was thirsty. I said, you know what? I'm going to pull over in this gas station and get me a bottle of water. She freaked out. She says, I'm thirsty. You didn't do a thing. You're thirsty. You pull over. And I said, when were you thirsty? And she looked at me like I was an idiot. She says, I said, when were you thirsty? Did you tell me you were thirsty? You asked me if I were thirsty. You wanted me to read your mind. You have to tell people what you want. She wanted me to assume that she was thirsty by asking me that. People do that all the time. You've got to be able to ask for what you want. Feel deserving of asking for what you want. You want a Coke? You want a bottle of water? Ask. Could you stop up there so I can get a bottle of water? Tell people how you expect to be treated. Tell them what you want. Tell people how you expect to be treated. It's one of the 10 steps to permanent change. When you're willing to do that, that means you like yourself and you like yourself a lot. You don't have to do it in an aggressive, mean way. Just tell people what you want. And you know, when I brought it to her attention, it was so apparent, and the people in the back seat were actually laughing because they were saying that was something that she did all the time. Expect other people to read their mind. No one can read your mind. No one can read my mind. But you know what? People remember when you tell them what you want. Tell people what you want. It makes them feel good. It makes them feel comfortable. They know how to treat you. They're not confused. Tell people how you expect to be treated. Number 8, hang around winners. Hang around people who are going someplace. You want to hang around people who set goals. Don't hang around losers. If you hang out with losers, you will become a loser. It's hard to fly with the eagles when you're scratching with the turkeys. Very difficult to do that. If you're going to hang out with people who are negative, by the forces of attraction in the universe, you are also going to learn to be negative. You hang out with winners. You hang out with people who are going someplace. You're going to naturally absorb their qualities. You're going to absorb their characteristics, and you're going to become a winner too. Back in the day, they used to say, you want to know what the $100,000 lunch is? That means you would take out to lunch and pay for it to someone who earned $100,000 a year. Well, today I call it the $1 million lunch. Here's what you do. You find out someone you know who earns $1 million a year, and you take them out to lunch and make sure you pay. All you want to do is hang around them. You want to listen to them talk. You want to absorb their qualities. You want to learn to be like them. It's not all about money, gang. It's about attitude and success. Hang around winning people. Hang out with people who are positive. One of the things that I remember when Mari first told me about you, Natasha, one of the things that she said, she says, oh, you'll like hanging around her. You know why? Because she's always positive. She's always positive. You two are the only two people I know who always can find something positive in everything's going on. That's what she said.
That's exactly what she told me. She said, oh, you're going to like him. He's very positive. You're two most positive people I ever seen.
So
she
said the same thing. Hang around winning people. Number 9, learn to have pleasure without guilt. Now, I want to just explain a little bit to you about this guilt thing. And we'll probably even touch on it more as the weeks go on because there's so much of it. But I'm going to give you the definition of a guilty personality. A guilty personality, number 1, feels inferior. They feel inferior. And basically, that particular character trait permeates their entire personality. And it accounts for their defensive reactions whenever someone comes at them with something or challenge. They automatically build up little block walls around themselves because they feel inferior, and everything makes them feel they're under attack all the time. Next, they feel inadequate and undeserving of good things. They feel inadequate. Deep-rooted feelings of inadequacy permeate their personality. Now, in order to activate the 10 steps to permanent change, you have to learn to have pleasure without guilt, which means you have to change each and every one of these parts about yourself. And the way that you eliminate a guilty personality is you learn to say these 3 words. I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. I am responsible. Remember, the definition of guilt is a person who feels worthless. That's right. It's a feeling of worthlessness. To feel worth more, you have to say over and over, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. So that you can learn to have pleasure, that you can learn to have pleasure without guilt. It's 5 minutes before the hour, guys and gals. We still have time enough to finish these last two. Not to worry, because we're going to start off with a brand new topic next week. A brand new exciting topic for you. Where, and I sure hope you've gotten all of the things of the 15 steps from the old you to a new you and the Dirty Dozen, because all of those things are going to be essential as we move into the fabulous, exciting world of goal setting. It's probably going to take us a month or two to get through it, but it's going to be so exciting. I'm so looking forward to it. So in order for you to learn to have pleasure without guilt, you have to stop being destructively self-critical. We talked about that earlier. Number four, stop being easily controlled by guilt. And the way you do that is this. When someone is trying to make you feel guilty, here's what you say. And you know when someone's trying to make you feel guilty because it has that feeling of worthlessness. They make you feel worthless. Oh, I gave you two shirts. What's the matter? You don't feel like you don't like the other one? Okay. You say to them, you're not trying to make me feel guilty, are you? And their response will be right away, well, no, I'm not. And you'll go right back to your conversation, and immediately, because it's easy and it works, they will immediately try to use guilt on you again. And you stop the conversation and smile. Even if it's on the phone, you smile and say, you're not trying to make me feel guilty, are you? And this time, because you've brought it to their level of awareness, they might say, well, yeah, I am trying to make you feel guilty. And then you say, well, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm not going to respond to being made to feel guilty. It's not how I roll. We don't do that. You're going to have to communicate with me differently. So never allow other people to manipulate you using guilt. Never allow other people to manipulate you. Yeah. Yes. Using guilt. Okay? And always, if you find yourself always trying to make other people feel guilty, that's the fifth characteristic of a guilty personality. And you use victim language. What's victim language? Saying, I can't. I have to. I'll try. I didn't mean it. It wasn't my fault. I'm sorry. All cries of not guilty. All of these are the things that indicate a person who's been brought up with deep-rooted feelings of guilt. And in order to have pleasure without guilt, you have to eliminate those. And you can eliminate all of those six characteristics with these three words. I like myself. I like myself. And it will, over time, override all the previous programming. And it will, in time, make just wipe out, clear your mind of all the destructive, negative emotions that have been holding you back since early childhood. And finally, number 10. Visualize in your mind how you want to be. Visualize in your mind how you want to be in advance. In advance, visualize how you want to be. The person that you want to be in advance. What you want to look like. What you want to sound like, what you want to be like, the things you want to have, be, do. Visualize in your mind how you want to be in advance. Okay. There you have it. And with 2 minutes to spare, gang, the Dirty Dozen reviewed, and of course, the 10 steps to permanent change. Now, I didn't say any of this stuff is going to be easy for you, because change is not easy. But if you're sincere enough, and you really want to get the best out of the blessings in life that you've been endowed with by the Creator, then you'll give some of them a try. You will. You'll give them a try. And let's see what happens. I think it's worth it. We got about 2 minutes there. We got 2 minutes left. You can hear a little something coming up. I picked this one for our closing music because it's one of the songs of Wes Montgomery that I can actually play and make it sound just like that. It's been my pleasure. I told you we had a great show on tap for you today, gang. We got 1 minute to go before we are off the air. We're going to be pulled off like this building is on fire. Zach, it's always a pleasure, my man.
Pleasure doing business. Congratulations, by the way, on you getting into that Hall of Fame.
thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate your comments. And, of course, the fabulous Natasha making everything in the studio and all around the area much brighter.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Hey, gang, as usual at this time, I'm also going to say thanks to Bob Adlock and Pat McMahon and, of course, Zach and the fabulous Natasha, and remind you to be true to yourself. And how much time we got with there, Zach? We are counting down the 10 seconds now. As we always say, 3, 2, 1, peace. The Mac Daddy is out.